Teresa Murray is one of our favorite guests. She's a consumer watchdog with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. And Teresa, last time you were on, we didn't get a chance to talk about a program that I wanted to talk about. So, and in the meantime, of course, we've had more recalls, and it seems like we could have you on every day and there still would be a recall list that has not been mentioned.
You are absolutely right. And that's only if we were talking about the product recalls. We haven't even mentioned the food or the automobiles. So we can get to that another week or another month.
Tell me about the program.
So, you know, we talk about product recalls a lot. And I'm wondering, Lisa, have you ever had a product that was recalled and you tried to return it? I seem to remember that there was something like a neck massager or something like that last year.
Yeah, well, and bed frames. Remember, I bought those bed frames from Wayfair, and then 2 weeks later, they're on the recall list, but I already paid somebody to put them together, and they're in a guest bedroom, and I'm like, do I take them apart, put them in a box, send them back, or do I just hope that the few people who sleep on them don't collapse the bed? And
oh, gosh.
I chose the latter.
Oh,
which
Lisa,
is terrible.
Lisa, I raised you better than that.
I know. It's just time. It's always time. You know, like, do I have the time to do this? And I feel like they make you jump through so many hoops.
Well, you are absolutely right. And, I mean, you know, you're making a calculated risk there. I would assume that if we were talking about something that could cause a fire or harm a child, you might have a different course of action. But so, yeah, this has been a problem that we've talked to a lot of consumers about, because you're right. It is an absolute total pain in the butt to try and take a product back. And if it's something that's just a few bucks, you might just say, oh, screw it, throw it away. And if it's expensive and you're like, dog, what do I do? So we looked at all 323 consumer products that had been recalled last year by the Consumer Product Safety Commission. We looked at the ones that had a refund as opposed to repairing it or replacing it. And what we found is that more than half of the companies that offered refunds made it really difficult to make people jump through all these hoops and to get your money back. And, you know, like, for example, we think that if you have a product that's been recalled, you should be able to make that request online. But some of the companies require you to call a customer service number and then rot on hold on the phone, you know, between 8 and 11 a.m. Eastern time when it's a full moon or something.
And then
like, you should be able, in most cases, to send a photo of the product, you know, disabled, send it to the company, upload it along with the model number and all that other information, instead of being required to, like, return it to the store. Like, you want to get in your car and drive it back, really, or ship it back, even if they send you a prepaid shipping label, because you're right. You're absolutely right. That is time. And then some of them that say they offer a refund, Lisa, they don't even give you a full refund.
Oh, and we lost her. They'll get her back on. Because here, I have to explain to Teresa, too, because she's like, I raised you better than this, and I get it. The situation with the beds, so they're two queen-size beds. They came in big boxes, you know, UPS or somebody delivered them. And I thought, okay, so not only do I have to find the box, I have to take the beds apart, get them back in the box, load both of those boxes into the back of my SUV, take them back to UPS. And then at that point, do I have to pay for shipping? Maybe they've given me the label. I don't know. It seemed like that was a half a day. And I thought, I don't have a half a day to do this. So, Teresa, I was just explaining why you did raise me better than that, but I, you know, calculated it's going to take a half a day to get this whole bed thing taken care of, and I haven't had the time.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and our time is valuable. So, talking about the money, so some of the companies, you go to the trouble of giving, you know, they says they're going to offer you a refund, you go to the trouble, you fill out the stuff, you do whatever, and then it's not actually money or, you know, a refund to your credit card or whatever. They'll give you a gift card that you can use to buy some other product that may or may not be dangerous. I mean, it's a racket.
It is a racket. And I feel like our recall lists continue to get longer, and people are now becoming numb to it. And as a result, people are getting sick, some are dying.
Yes. Now, here, let be a conspiracy theorist with me for a minute, Lisa. So a lot of the products that we looked at, depending on how many were recalled, sometimes it was tens of thousands of products, hundreds of thousands of products, even millions of products. Even if it's a low dollar amount, what do you think happens if the company makes it really difficult to request a refund?
fewer people do it.
Exactly right. So, like, some of the products that we looked at are pretty insignificant in price, like $3, $10. And if like, there was one with Target with candles, and there were almost 5 million candles that were recalled, and they were going to offer a refund. But they also required the product to be returned to the store. And if everybody did that, depending on the value of your particular candle, I guess some cents cost more, then the value or what was out of Target's pocket would have been somewhere between $14,700,000 and $98 million. So maybe I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? Huge difference between $14 million and $98 million. They're hoping no one returns it.
There's some incentive there. I mean, you hope that that's not the case, but you just got to wonder. Because, and then, like, one other product that was really a small dollar amount, it was less than $10, and they required people, in order to get a refund, for you to go and submit an affidavit, which, of course, would require you to go to get someplace, like a bank or whoever, to get it notarized. And in most states, you have to get it notarized. And it's like, who's going to do that? I mean, yes, they're offering, but who's going to take the time? So,
we,
you know, you with your bed frame,
Walmart.
I get it.
With Walmart and the weighing of fruit and vegetables. So, you know, the court mandates that they now reimburse people that they obviously overcharged, but they want us to have our receipt from 3 years ago. Who has their Walmart receipt from 3 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, even if it was a credit card statement, you usually can't pull your credit card statements going back more than like 12 to 24 months.
It's crazy. So yes. What is the U.S. Public Interest Research Group doing about it? Who's standing up? Who's fighting for change?
Well, we are. We are actually trying to get this particular issue into another bill that has been introduced that's called the CAP Act that would raise the penalties that companies could face if they lie about whether there have been people who have been injured. So like Peloton, Whirlpool, some of these companies that have been fined millions of dollars in the past because they weren't upfront about injuries. We're trying to get this particular thing rolled into that bill, and if not that one, another consumer protection bill that would basically give the Consumer Product Safety Commission more authority that when they're negotiating recalls, because remember, these are all voluntary, okay? It's like really a big pain for the CPSC to sue a company, to take mm-hmm. them to court to force a recall. But in the process of working through the recall, they should be able to say to them, hey, you know what? There is no reason why you should require somebody to ship back this product, or that you shouldn't give people a full refund, that you're going to give them a gift card instead.
So I mean, how can people support you? Like, can they go to your website? How can people lend their voice to this effort?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's easy. It's PIRG.org. And if you do a search on there for what we've talked about with product safety, you can find a way to sign up and sign your name to a petition. And that's what we're working on. And I describe my job a lot of times as banging pots and pans. So, you know, we do research, we have hard data, and then we make noise about it to try and affect change that's good for everybody.
All right. Well, I'm going to help amplify your voice. I'm going to amplify the pots and the pans for you.
Okay. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Teresa. PIRG.org. That's PIRG.org. Sign that petition and stick around. Steve's News is next on 720 WGN.
Lisa Dent, WGN.